And may God be glorified this All Saints Sunday and in our lives and here in church and always. Amen. As we come here to this All Saints Sunday, and we heard in our scriptures the saints giving thanks and praise to God for His goodness, we remember, just to read that again, talking about one generation shall declare your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, I will meditate. We're remembering the saints who've gone before us. We're remembering how they have lived, and so we can live. How they had faith, so today we can have faith. How they showed what it's like when we live dependent on God's love, and how we can do the same. How they lived out this part of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and how we can too. That's what we'll try to do, is blend those two together. And as we do so, as we look at this last phrase, in truth, we're looking at the part of the prayer that isn't there. In our Bible class this past Tuesday, we looked at this. And if you look in your ESV Bibles there in the pew or your Bibles at home, you'll notice that these words aren't there in the text. They're at the bottom in the footnotes. It's because the oldest and the most reliable Bible manuscripts of the original language don't have this, but so many other of them do, and this sounds so much like the character of Jesus that it's traditionally included. It's just an interesting thing how Christians have different understandings of where this prayer ends, right? If you've ever prayed with some Catholic friends, or as the story is told among us chaplains, the Protestant chaplain who goes in and prays with a room full of Catholics will usually be saying the end of the Lord's Prayer all by himself or herself, because of the Catholics stop at, deliver us from the evil one. And we Lutherans and other Protestants go on and finish it out. But we, as I said, this part of the prayer has enough textual understanding and has enough of the character of Jesus, and we're so used to praying it that we want to spend a little bit of time looking at this phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. It's the closing of the Lord's Prayer. It's the wrap-up. Jesus had taught us this when he was asked by his disciples how to pray, and as I've been stressing for all of these weeks, part of the idea is that not just that we pray these exact words, but that we pray and live out these concepts. That when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are really asking God, God, will you give me what I need? Will you give me the wisdom I need for today? Will you give me the strength to resist temptation that I need for today? Many in the recovery movement are aware that all we can ever do, all we ever ask for, is one day at a time. Right? And that's it's all drawn from what we understand from this prayer. So we take that and we take the phrases and the thoughts of the prayer, and we've tried to understand them in a deeper way. And we're going to try to do the same thing here with this last part. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The first thing I want you to notice in there, whether you use the more modern translation, yours is the kingdom, or yours is or we use the traditional words of thine is the power. We are really focused in on this idea that it's yours. It's thine, God. It's not my kingdom. It's your kingdom. I'm not striving for my glory. It's yours. That's what Jesus was teaching us in this prayer, to have be part of the rhythm of our lives. And I really think that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get at in our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said that God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human may boast in the presence of Almighty God. It's not mine. It's yours. Think of any good that's been in any of our lives. Did we really create it? Did we accomplish it? It's like the scientist who knocks on God's door and says, knocks on the gates and said, by the way, God, we don't need you anymore, right? We have figured out how to create life on our own. And God expresses some curiosity. Really, I'd love to see it. And the scientist says, well, we just take a little bit of dirt, and God stops. Make your own dirt. Right? When we accomplish something, we've done the thing, and we get the raise at work or you know, whatever the case is that happens in our lives, we think, you know, I did this. Well, where did the brain power come from? Where did the muscle power come from? Where did the heart to keep on going come from? From our Creator, from the one who loved us and redeemed us. And it is a great place for us to just stop in the midst of our life and go, thine. It's about you, God. You're the giver. You're the blesser. You're the redeemer. Yours is the kingdom. I don't know about you. Maybe you can see my picture of the little, tiny, very detailed sandcastle that just happens to be sitting in the palm of someone's hand. But whatever kingdom we think we're, you know, building, like my house, I put a new garage door opener in the house this past week, right? And I felt pretty good about accomplishing that. And then I realized, you know what? I just did that about 9 years ago. Everything we think we do, we like accomplish it, it wears out, right? Anything that we think is great and fantastic, just like Peter, when he's there up in the mountain, he looks and he's, wow, this is really great that we're here, God. Great that we get to be witnesses of this. And God, you know, stops him and says, no, the focus isn't on great that you're here. The focus is great that Jesus is here. Listen to him. The focus isn't great that you got to see Moses and Elijah. The focus is great that Jesus is greater than Moses and Elijah, and they were coming here to bear witness to him and to encourage him. Whose kingdom are we really building? You might work for another company. You might have your own company. You might be done working for anyone else. But when we are living and building our own kingdom, when we see what we can scratch and claw out of the dirt and make our own, it is like a sandcastle. None of it lasts. None of it. We can't take it with us in the grave. The Egyptians tried, right? And all it is, somebody digs it up and some robber gets it, or it ends up in a museum. It doesn't go with us anywhere. There's nothing we can accomplish in this life that is so great we can say, hey, this is mine and I get to keep it forever. But when we are doing things for the kingdom of God, when we are striving instead for his kingdom and his glory, Jesus says even the simplest things, a cup of cold water given to someone else in my name will not miss its reward. So it all depends on whose kingdom we're living for, yours or his. We also hear in this prayer, thine is the kingdom and thine is the power. I don't know how good the cell phone is in your pocket, but I know this, that the most advanced, fantastic cell phone in the world isn't worth diddly if it doesn't have a charged battery, right? You have to have that power, and you, for that matter, you have to have a network that you can connect to. Take the analogy as far as you want to go. And just like a cell phone without a charged battery, we are also very limited. Think about the limitations that we have. It's a rare person who could go 30 days without food. It's a rare person who could go 3 days without water. It's a rare person who could even go a day without sleep, quite honestly, right? I mean, maybe a few soldiers or well-trained athletes could pull that off. And it's rarer still for any one of us who could go a minute without breathing. We could try it for 60 seconds, see who in here could do it, I suppose. But if you'll just, agree with that concept and that idea, do you understand that those limitations were actually designed by God not to, bend us down and put us in our place in some defiant power, crazed way, but so that you and I would see our limitations and say, yours is the power I need. I can't make it through a day without your power. I can't make it through this life without your power helping me in all of my weaknesses, in all of my limitations, in all my times of hurt and emptiness. Then when we depend on that power, when we depend on him, we have this wonderful power that the epistle reading talked about, this power of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world's going to think that it's smarter than God and stronger than God and doesn't need God anymore, and they're welcome to think that if they want. We'll see how far it takes them. But what you and I know Even we who were not powerful or of noble birth, as verse 26 goes on to talk about, the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Jesus, hanging on the cross, looked like weakness. His death looked like defeat. And yet we knew that it was God saying, my power is made perfect through that weakness. My power is emptied out from myself, from the cross, and poured into you. The power of my grace, the power of my love, given for you as his blood pours out for us, as he rises again from the grave and offers that power and strength for us. We preach Christ crucified, and it's a stumbling block for the Jews and for the folly for others, but for us it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. How about for the glory? Thine is the glory. This is a picture of Joe. Joe found a rare seed. He's thrilled to have found it. You know, big, big deal. He even got a sign made in his name for this rare seed that's worth a couple thousand bucks. But I'd ask you, who gets the credit in your life? Who gets the credit? You may be able to barbecue the best queue there is. You may make the best lemon cake that anyone in creation has ever tasted. You might be the smartest whiz at work or maybe the most successful contestant on Jeopardy. But I'd ask you, who gets the credit for the successes in your life? Who gets the credit for anything good that we accomplish? If we are working and living or crowing about our own glory like Joe with his seed, guess what? All you're going to get is the praise of the crowd and then the expectation. Well, what are you going to do next? What's your encore? How are you going to keep us glorifying you? And we realize just how crazy it really is. But when, again, we are living for his glory, when we let Jesus emptying himself out on the cross and then the empty tomb proving that we can have full hearts, full of his power, of his peace, of his grace, if we then let that power be in us and every word we say, every action that we take can be to the glory of God. Every time we love one of the least of these, we're glorifying him. Every time we are working, even in the shadows, to help someone who is without hope or is discouraged, God notices. And when we live for his kingdom and his glory, God says all that we do lasts forever. It's acknowledged, it'll be rewarded, right? He even talks about those rewards. We're faithful in a few things to his glory, and he has great things in mind for us. The last phrase there in the Lord's Prayer is forever and ever. You and I, maybe we realize it more and more, are aware that time is slipping away. I'm aware I cannot lift as much, I cannot remember as much, I cannot do as much, and on and on and on. But I also remember the God who says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that forever, that he is the rock, he is the light, he is the life, that forever is offered to us. It's his gift of grace that forever, all the weaknesses and limitations that we had here, all the snares and toils that we dealt with, all of the difficulties and the work of the evil one that he tried to pull us away from God, Jesus is saying, I won't let you go. And forever, this kingdom, this power, this light and life that I have been building and that I have, I offer it to you to share with me, he says, forever. Longer than any bout of crying or tears we've ever had. Longer than any depression that has bound us up or fear that has had us closed up and we've stopped trying. Longer than any grief or sadness or difficulty in our life. All those things will pass and be memories. And instead, the light, the love, the presence of God will be ours forever. God tells us to number our days aright, to be wise about them, to live for his kingdom and power and glory. But he also promises us that he has the grace to help us experience forever with him. May God help us rely on him and glorify him, for yours indeed, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join me now in speaking our words of faith.